before we kick on with tonight's show.
Warning, some viewers may find the following footage deeply disturbing.
Oh yes, disturbing. Welcome back, brave listeners, to another spine-tingling episode of Rare Eddie One Talks. I'm your host, Rare Eddie One, and welcome back. And today we are venturing into the misty, mysterious moors of Eikley Moor, where the sheep are nervous and the aliens apparently have a holiday home. Mate Butlins, Skeggy, Skeg Vegas, who knows? Aliens, where do you like visiting? So, on a cold, wet, windy day in December, in 1987, our hero Philip Spencer, a retired police officer, decides to take a leisurely stroll across Eikley Moor, and with nothing but a camera and a healthy dose of skepticism, he's about to have an encounter that makes the X-Files look like a documentary. Spencer spots a small, strange figure in the distance. Naturally, he thinks, oh, look, a small child playing in the middle of nowhere, totally normal, yes. But when the figure doesn't respond to and scurries away, he does what any rational person would do. He follows it, because chasing mysterious creatures on a foggy moor always ends well. Right? He snaps a photo of what he claims is an alien. Yes, folks, an alien. Not a sheep in a Halloween costume, but a bona fide extraterrestrial with all them gooey and dangly bits. And just when you think it can't get any weirder, Spencer loses 2 hours of time. Maybe he wandered into the arcades of Skeg Vegas, who knows? Maybe he was abducted, or maybe he just found the world's most boring rock to stare at. Who's to say? Under hypno, Spencer recalls being taken aboard a spaceship and given a medical exam because, of course, aliens travel light years just to play doctor. Who knows? Doctor and nurses might actually be a profession they no longer need on their home worlds, and they just long for them days of playing doctor and nurses.
Hi, everybody!
Hi, Dr. Nick!
So buckle up, dear listeners, as we dive into the Eikley Moor incident. Is it genuine close encounter or just a case of too much Yorkshire ale? I know a couple of people who may have a comment on Yorkshire ale, so quite possibly too many Yorkshire ales in their system, but let's find out together. And remember, if you see a little green man on your next hike, maybe, just maybe, you have spotted the alien of Eikley Moor, or you've had one or two sherbets in your system. Anyway, buckle up, because we're about to dive into the Eikley Moor case. But anyway, if you are new here, thank you and welcome. Before we continue, I am heavily, heavily dyslexic, even with stuff I wrote myself. Oh boy, oh boy. Let's see how many times I fuck up on this one. Hopefully not that many. I've read it a couple of times. Well, I say I've read it a couple of times. I've read it about 5 times, to be honest, and I think I've got it down, but I know what I'm like, especially when you hit that record button, you're like, brain has gone to mush. But yeah, if you are new here, I am heavily dyslexic and I interrupt myself like a motherfucker. The main pathway, the pathway tonight is the Eikley Moor, but on this pathway there might be a couple little snickets leading off to certain places, and maybe a road, maybe a T-junction, which I tend to go down to have a little look, have a little search, but we do generally get back onto the path. But the path tonight is, like I said, Eikley Moor. But as I normally do on these, I am drinking. And yes, I'm pretty sure I've had this on here before. Have I done a review of it? If I haven't, let's cue that game music and let's review. I'm going to hold it up to the camera. I probably have reviewed it before. A shy, is it a shyer? A shy? Or it's dry Japanese beer. I've had it before. I definitely have had it on this podcast, but have I reviewed it like I have started reviewing beer and alcohol on this? I don't know if I can actually get it open because I've got no fucking fingernails. Oh, here we go. Oh, that's a good sign. Cheers, bottom up, pinky at the ready. Oh, it's dry. It smells alcoholic. Smells like a Heineken. It's not bad. It's very dry. It's got that definitely that high hoppy dryness to it. What is the units of alcohol? It's a 5. It's actually a 5, so it's more of like a Stella Heineken kind of beer. A shy Breweries Limited. It's super dry. It's rather nice. It's nice. It does have a clean lager taste. It does have a clean lager taste where you there's no there's no chemically taste to it. It's just a clean lager, cool, refreshing beer. Yeah, it's nice. I would give that a 7.2. And yes, there's not much I can say about it because I'm not the biggest lager drinker out there. It's nice. Don't get me wrong. It is nice. But anyway, let's uncue the game music. Is that how you would say it? Uncue? I have no idea. Uncue. But the Icklymore incident is one of the most intriguing UFO encounters in the UK. Here's a detailed account. Well, sort of a detailed account. In December 1987, Philip Spencer, a retired police officer, yes, it's a big factor, a retired police officer, was walking across Icklymore in the West Yorkshire. He was on his way to visit his father-in-law and had a camera with him to take photographs of the moor, which isn't unusual. Definitely in today's day and age, where everyone's got a fucking camera on them. But in 87, I wouldn't say that's an unusual thing to have on your person, a camera to take, you know, taking picturesque views of the moor. So yeah, it's not a strange thing to have on your persons. As he walked, he noticed a strange small figure in the distance, thinking it might be a child. So the moors do have a history of unfortunate things happening. The Yorkshire Ripper. So who knows how many small children are buried in the moors. He called out, but the figure didn't respond and instead moved away quickly. Spencer decided to follow and managed to take a photograph of the figure before it disappeared. He described it as being about 4 feet tall, small child, with a large head and long arms. Shortly after, he saw a bright light in the sky, which he believed was a UFO. He claimed that he lost about 2 hours of time during this encounter, which he couldn't account for. This is quite a usual account when you look at stories like this, for them to have time loss. This is very usual. Later, under hypnosis, which hypnosis is starting to become a bit pseudo hammered down proof, it is what it is. People can say and do stuff under hypnosis. It's not. I think we still use it as testimony in the UK, but I think the States have actually, you know, maybe it's vice versa. Maybe we have stopped using it in courts. But anyway, Spencer recalled being taken on board a spacecraft and subject to a medical examination by the beings he encountered. The photograph he took was analysed by experts, and while some believe it shows an alien being, others think it could be a hoax or misidentification. Misidentification for what? A small child? A child ghost? A deer? A great big owl? Who knows? Who absolutely knows? But we are going to try and dig out the truth, folks. You and me are going to try and dig the truth. Is there any military bases nearby Eichley Moor? Yes, there is. Menwith Will is a Royal Air Force base, RAF, a station located near Harrogate, North Yorkshire. It is known for its intelligence and communication operations and is one of the largest electronic monitoring stations in the world. You also have Leeds Bradford Airport, which is nearby as well. While not being a military base, it's worth mentioning it has been suggested that some UFO sightings in the area could be linked to aircraft activity from the airport. So yes, you have two possible instances that this could be an airplane, a military training event, something. Rather than being a UFO, it possibly be a UFO to people on the ground, but to the military, to the air control, they know exactly what it is. Who knows? So what do believers in the Eichley Moor UFO incident say? Credible of eyewitnesses. Philip Spencer is a retired police officer. Who reported the encounter is considered a credible witness due to his background in law enforcement. I would say, yeah, if he's an old school Yorkshire police officer, yeah, I would tend to believe what he's saying. Has he made any money from this? Actually, that's not a bad... I don't know why I did not look that up. Let us look that up. Did he make? Because my spelling is so bad. Let's do the easy way. Various write-ups of the case have made it clear that Spencer did not make any money from the story. So no, he did not make any money from this at all. We did that live. Photographic evidence. The photograph that Spencer took of the alleged alien is often cited as one of the strongest pieces of evidence of extraterrestrial encounters. Despite it being blurry, many believe it shows a genuine alien being. Hypnotic regression. Under hypnosis, Spencer recalled being taken aboard a spacecraft and subjected to medical examination. This detailed account adds weight to his initial claim. Unexplained time loss. Spencer reported losing about 2 hours of time during the encounter, which he couldn't account for. This phenomenon is commonly reported in other abduction cases. Proximity to the military base. Some believers argue that the proximity of Menwith Hill and other military installations could be linked to increased UFO activity in the area. So what do skeptics have to say for themselves during this case? The blurriness and quality of the photograph taken by Philip Spencer is quite blurry and lacks clear details. Skeptics argue that this makes it difficult to definitively identify the figure as an alien. Possible hoax. Some skeptics suggest that the incident could have been a hoax. They have pointed out that the figure in the photograph could be a person in a costume or a cleverly staged setup. Natural explanations. There are theories that the figure could be a misidentified animal or trick of the light and shadow. The Moors landscape and weather conditions might have contributed to an optical illusion. Hypnotic regression. The use of hypnosis to recover memories is controversial. Critics argue that hypnotic regression can lead to false memories or suggestibility, making Spencer's detailed account less reliable. Lack of corroborating evidence. Apart from Spencer's testimony and the photograph, there is no additional evidence to support the encounter. No other witnesses or physical evidence has been found. Well, let's take a look at the picture itself. Yes, the picture is grainy. Yes, it's 87. Trick of a light. No, I don't think this is any trick of the light. Animal. If it's a deer, it's really fucking stood very strangely, but no. Definitely long arms. Or is it holding something? Is it holding onto something? The left arm looks very long, but the right arm looks like it's leant on quite possibly a bush, a rock. Very strange. But light, optical, what did one of these skeptics say? Misidentification. Quite possibly be a person. A trick of the light and shadow. I have no idea what casting this shadow. There's nothing in this photograph to point out to create this shadow. So no, I don't believe it's a shadow. Definitely interesting. This is... I'm at, what website am I at? Really Yorkshire blog. Really Yorkshire blog. Living in Burley, in Wharfdale, I spend a lot of time on Eikley Moor with my dog and love exploring the wild moorland. So when a friend send me a podcast about the Eikley Moor alien, I thought I need to investigate it further. After all, I didn't fancy missing my tea after being abducted and never liked the sound of being probed. The image which Philip Spencer took appears to show a slightly blurry 4-foot alien creature. The image has been analysed hundreds of times and experts conclude that the figure has not been superimposed and shows no resemblance to any local wildlife. Sadly, Spencer was in too much shock to get a picture of the domed flying machine. So the flying saucer was a domed flying saucer. The sighting is just one of many reported UFO sightings in the area, many seeming to happen near the previous mentioned 12 Apostle Stone Circle. But the fact of the story of the Eikley Moor alien has photographed to back it up. It is now ranked as one of the top 10 most important alien sightings in the UK. No one knows why the alien chose Ike Lee to visit, but I think that he or she may have just fancied a pint of Ike Lee brewed Mary Jane or Betty's fat rascal after a long journey from Mars. I definitely want to try Betty's fat rascal. So the Moors are strange. Strange. Beautiful, strange plant life. Maybe these aliens are searching out a specific plant to fuel their ship, to give them health food. Maybe it's a nice plant back on their home world. I'm definitely going to go, so I'm going to bookmark this page so I don't lose it. The 12 Apostle Stone Circle is definitely on my list. So the skeptics don't give any clear, that makes sense. The photo is blurry. It's a 1987 photograph by a startled person, quite possibly a startled person. Police officer, yes, or retired police officer, yes. So maybe, I was going to think maybe he had some sort of PTSD. I don't know. But a startled person, definitely. It's hoax is the only explanation this could be. Hoax. If it's anything, it's going to be a hoax. I tend to believe this case. So I asked AI, Bing AI, what it thinks about the Ike Lee Moore UFO incident. So Bing AI, Copilot, maybe, is that the name of the AI? It's on the Bing website or search engine. The Ike Lee Moore incident is certainly fascinating and has captured the imagination of many. While I don't have a personal opinion, I can share some thoughts based on the information available. Intriguing elements, a combination of credible witnesses, photographic evidence, and the detailed account under hypnosis makes the incidents compelling. These elements provide a strong narrative that support the possibility of extraordinary events. Skeptical considerations, on the other hand, the photograph's quality is the potential for natural explanations or hoax. Cannot be ignored the lack of corroborating evidence and the controversial nature of hypnoregression also adds a layer of doubt. I should have maybe see if I think you can put pictures in, maybe see what it thought about the pictures. Ultimately, the incident remains a mystery, with both believers and skeptics presenting valid points. It's one of those cases that keeps the debate about UFOs and alien encounters alive and intriguing. Definitely a co-pilot, I guess that's what you call it. So what are the cultural impacts of the Ike Lee Moore UFO incident? So, media coverage. The incident has been featured in various documentaries, TV shows, and books about UFOs and the paranormal phenomena. This has helped keep the story alive and introduced it to a new audience. Local folklore. Ike Lee Moore has become a point of interest for UFO enthusiasts and paranormal investigators. The incident has added to the area's mystique and has become part of the folklore. Tourism. So this could be a big one. Tourism. The story attracts visitors to Ike Lee Moore Curious to see the location of the alleged encounter, this has had a positive impact on local tourism, with some tours and events focusing on the UFO sighting. Interesting. Public interest, the UFOs, the incident has contributed to the broader public interest in UFOs and extraterrestrial life. It often cited in discussions and debates about the existence of aliens and the credibility of the UFO sightings. Influence on popular culture. This is one what I tend to lean more on. The Ankley Moore incident has inspired various works of fiction, include novels and films that explore themes of alien encounters and abductions. It has become a reference point in popular culture for discussion about UFOs. Overall, the Ankley Moore incident has left lasting mark on both local and broader culture landscape, continuing to intrigue and inspire people, people interested in the unknown. Could there be a way of contacting, calling, even summoning the UFO or alien if you are heading to Ankley Moore? Well, that answer is no. But is there any way of contacting a extraterrestrial or UFO? Yes. This is all from Gaia. It's not. But here's some things that I've put together. So, this is maybe what I should put. Luckily, I've written it down. So, this is maybe what I should do when I go to the 12 Apostle Stones. Or even Ankley Moore itself. So, number one, meditation and telepathy. Telepathy. Is that... I've not said that word right. Some enthusiasts suggest that meditation and telepathic communication can be effective. By entering into a deep meditative state and focusing on sending out a mental invite, some claim to have had success in making contact. CE5 protocols, developed by Dr. Stephen Greer. The Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, CE5, protocols involve a group of meditation and visualization techniques aimed at inviting extraterrestrial contact. These protocols are detailed in various books and documentaries, which will cost you an arm and a leg on the Gaia. That's the one. I put it in there, but Dr. Stephen Greer, when I found out about this guy, I thought this guy is legit, but when you look into it, look, oh fucking hell, he's making loads of money. Remote viewing. This method involves using psychic abilities to perceive distance or unseen targets. Some believe that remote viewing can be used to locate and communicate with extraterrestrial beings. And lastly, number four, shamanic practices. Some traditionals involve shamanic rituals and ceremonies to contact with otherworldly entities. These practices often involve the guidance of an experienced shaman. While the methods are intriguing, it's important to approach them with an open mind and a healthy dose of skepticism. There's no scientific evidence to support their effectiveness, but they can be interesting to explore if you're curious about the possibility of extraterrestrial contact. Would you be interested in trying any of these methods? There's no scientific evidence to support their effectiveness, but they can be interesting to explore. So if you're curious about the possibility of extraterrestrial contact, get in touch with me and let's see if we can communicate with some freaky extraterrestrials. So my thoughts on this case before I let you all go. I tend to lean to the belief with this case. I tend to believe Philip Spencer has a photograph of an alien. He has been abducted by some aliens. He's had some medical experience with the extraterrestrials. I tend to lead to the belief. Now, could be possible that we and the Americans maybe had an alien ship at the military base nearby, and maybe they were going out on a little run, see if they could get the ship working, see if they can freak out some locals. Quite possibly. How on earth they got... Well, maybe. Who knows? Maybe they had some extraterrestrials at the base near Eichlemore. Or maybe these aliens were brought in by special request. Maybe the plants on the moor itself power the engine of the UFOs. The possibilities are endless with this case, but I definitely believe this case. If you want to point out something to me, you're like, well, you missed this rare anyone, you missed that, you know, you fucked up here, you fucked up there, get in touch with me, let's see what we can communicate to one another, and don't be shy. If I fucked up, tell me I fucked up somehow. I'll happily take it on the nose, take it on the chin. The only way we're going to get better is if we all communicate together. Don't be shy. Don't think you're going to upset me. Just get in contact with me. If you want to get in contact with me and say, hey, you're doing a hell of a job, please do. But anyway, so I tend to lean to the belief. So that leaves me to let you all go. So you can run to the pubs, run to your wives, run home to your game stations and play on the latest game. Well, dear listener, that wraps up our eerie expedition into the foggy, alien-infested realms of the Eichley Moor. We've chased little green men, lost a couple of hours, and maybe even found a new appreciation for Yorkshire's finest mysteries. So remember, next time you're out for a stroll on the moors, keep your cameras ready and your skepticism handy. Who knows, you might just snap a photo of an alien, or at least a very confused sheep. So if you've enjoyed today's tale of extraterrestrial escapades, be sure to hit that subscribe button or follow button. Leave me a review and share this with your fellow UFO enthusiasts, dear friends. And if you didn't, well, maybe, just maybe, the aliens will be back to abduct you next time. Just kidding. Or am I? And now, a special message for our extraterrestrial listeners. Exploration of humanity continues. Eyes of our eyes. Origin year 8100. Whatever that means. Okay, right? So So until next time, stay curious, stay spooky, and remember, the truth is out there, probably somewhere between the heather and the sheep. This is Rare Eddie 1 signing off from Rare Eddie 1 Talks. Sweet dreams, and watch those skies above, because who knows what's coming down to abduct you from your sweet dreams. Anyway, I will see you in my next episode. Peace.